This is Mike Brady's Baby Milk Action podcast, and this is Mike Brady on the 3rd of September 2007. This is a roundup of my daily blogs, which you can read at boycottnestle.blogspot.com. So what was happening last week? Well, I had a report on what had happened during World Breastfeeding Week in Cameroon. Some pictures had come through from our partners there. Some news about Wyeth's SMA soya formula promotion and how the information they give does not tell parents all they need to know. Wednesday, a bit of musing on what we can learn from the ice cream wars between Nestle and Unilever. On Thursday, last push of our August promotional campaign. But there's other great things coming up, and now we're in September. And on Friday, news about George Clooney being questioned over his role in advertising Nescafe. So, a few years ago, Baby Milk Action was contacted by health campaigners in Cameroon in Africa, from an organisation called Cameroon Link. They became aware of our work after becoming concerned at Nestle promoting its formula at health clinics. We ran a campaign on this, and as a result of the communication, campaigners in Cameroon decided to launch a national boycott of Nestle. Nestle simply attempted to deny there is a boycott in Cameroon or any concern about violations, provoking a response from our partners and a further campaign. I'll link through to that on the Baby Milk Action website, which is at www.babymilkaction.org. The boycott remains active in Cameroon, and our partners promoted International Nestle Free Week in July this year in the national media. Health campaigners there also contacted the African Coordinating Office for the International Baby Food Action Network, IBFAN, in Swaziland. A national IBFAN group, CIFAS, has been set up by health campaigners in Cameroon to campaign for implementation of the World Health Assembly marketing requirements. Some of the provisions have now been introduced in legislation. The group is also promoting and supporting breastfeeding, providing a critically important counter message to that of industry, whose promotion suggests formula feeding is the modern way of infant feeding in developed countries. The IBFAN group marked World Breastfeeding Week earlier this month, or August, with a series of events. This had the support of UNICEF, Yaounde University, and the Minister of Public Health. And you can see some of the pictures there on the blog, the official ceremony with the Minister of Public Health, Mr. Olungwena Awono, making a speech with alongside him Professor Maurice Nkam, the Director of the University Teaching Hospital, and Jacques Boyer of UNICEF. A picture of CIFAS members marching to various events to draw the attention of the surrounding population. At these events, information was given to mothers and their families on the importance of exclusive breastfeeding and early initiation of breastfeeding, which was the theme of World Breastfeeding Week for 2007. Which of course is promoted by the World Alliance for Breastfeeding Action, of which Baby Milk Action is a member. So I send my congratulations to our partners in Cameroon for their dedicated and imaginative work. They're helping to save infant lives and improve the well-being of families. Not so concerned about the well-being of families is the promotion of Wyeth and its SMA soya formula. We're starting to get reports and through of advertisements in Wyeth's 3 million promotion of its SMA brand of formulas in the UK, and I'll be talking about that next time, I think. Today, I'm looking at how it fails to give parents the information they need about soya formula, and I invite you to sign up to receive information on our campaign to make formula feeding safer. As I've commented before, calling for strengthened regulations on formula companies and for existing regulations to be enforced is not anti-formula or an attack on mothers who use formula. It is the opposite. It is protecting a mother's right to accurate information so she can make an informed decision on how to feed her child. And if using formula, knows how to reduce the risks. When I've talked about this before, I've said I'll come back to the subject of soya and goat's milk formula. So, in preparing this, I thought I'd have a look at the Wyeth site to see what they say about SMA, why soy formula. Of course, companies should not be advertising infant formula under the provisions of the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes and the UK law. Under the code, companies should not seek direct or indirect contact with mothers. They are limited to providing scientific and factual information to health workers who have responsibility for advising parents. But Wyeth does promote formula on its website with impunity, at least so far. The UK Advertising Standards Authority refuses to even investigate claims on websites, even when companies direct parents to the site in their print and television advertisements. Trading Standards has not brought a single prosecution for illegal promotion on the internet. So while companies are getting away with it, let's see what they are saying. This is what Wyeth says on its website about why soy, and I'm going to quote it so we can analyse it. So this is from Wyeth's SMA website. SMA Why Soy is a nutritionally complete infant formula based on soya protein rather than cow's milk protein, which makes it suitable for babies with cow's milk intolerance. Cow's milk intolerance is when the digestive system finds it difficult to cope with one or more of the ingredients in cow's milk and can result in a variety of symptoms, including eczema, vomiting, diarrhea, and stomach cramps. If you suspect your baby has cow's milk intolerance, talk to your GP or other healthcare professional who might be able to prescribe a cow's milk-free formula such as SMA Y-Soy. Did you know SMA Y-Soy is approved by the Vegetarian Society and is often used by parents who wish their baby to have soya-based infant formula for religious or cultural reasons? When should I use SMA Y-Soy? SMA Y-Soy can be used from birth onwards and can also be used as part of an older baby or toddler's varied weaning diet. However, it should only be used if your baby has a cow's milk intolerance or if you have other reasons for wanting your baby to have a soya-based infant milk. Always consult your doctor or healthcare professional before making any changes to your choice of baby's milk. What are the benefits of using SMA Y-Soy? If your baby has cow's milk intolerance, you should completely remove cow's milk and any products containing cow's milk from her diet. SMA Y-Soy, with its soya protein base, is a useful alternative to cow's milk. So that's from the SMA website. So there is the repeated advice to contact a health worker before changing the formula a baby is fed, which is good. But there's also the suggestion to use Y-Soy if you have other reasons for wanting your baby to have a soya-based infant milk. Plus, there's an image showing a man feeding the child. And it's surely not there by accident, but is there to highlight that formula feeding facilitates other people feeding the child, rather than the mother. There is small print on the Wyeth website page saying breast is best, and giving in basic terms some of the legally required information. But there is much information missing that we think parents should have brought to their attention. The Food Standards Agency does provide independent information for parents on cow's milk intolerance, and I link to their site www.eatwell.gov.uk, where they have this Ask Sam service with responses to various questions and columns on different issues. So here's an extract from that site. You should only give your baby soya-based infant formula if your GP or health visitor breast better choice. Soya-based infant formula was originally developed for babies who can't have infant formula based on cow's milk, for example, because of a milk allergy. but there are now other types of formula that are more suitable for these babies, and your GP or health visitor will be able to advise you about this. Occasionally, your GP or health visitor might recommend soya-based infant formula, for example, if your baby can't or won't drink other types of formula, or if you want your baby to eat a vegan diet and you're not breastfeeding. If you're giving your baby soya-based infant formula at the moment, talk to your GP or health visitor about changing to a different formula. So that's from the Food Standards Agency website. Now, of course, we should not be surprised that the Wyeth website does not state that this product will rarely be recommended. It is a commercial enterprise, so why draw attention to the fact? Instead, Wyeth's approach is to encourage people to speak to a health worker who might be able to prescribe Y-soy. This is exactly why companies should not be the source of information for parents. As the Food Standards Agency article goes on to explain, there are some concerns about possible negative health impact of soya formulas. Soya contains phytoestrogens. These are compounds found naturally in some plants which may mimic or block the action of the human hormone estrogen. Tests in animals have shown an impact on development, but the impact on humans is still unclear. Yet there is a need for caution when we're talking about the sole food for a baby in its most important months of development. We should not underestimate the importance of regulations. Marketing in the United States is unregulated, and a voluntary code that did exist collapsed when Nestlé entered the market. The American Academy of Pediatrics states, healthy full-term infants should be given soy formula only when medically necessary. Yet, it's estimated that 20% of formula sold in the US is soya formula. There's another article I linked to from the Food Standards Agency, which gives additional information about cow's milk allergy and milk intolerance. Soya formula, it says, is not recommended for cow's milk allergy. It states, another type of infant formula is soya-based infant formula, but only use soya-based infant formula on the advice of your GP or health visitors. Babies who are allergic to cow's milk may also be allergic to soya. In almost all cases, breastfeeding or another type of formula will be a better choice. So, even when soya formula is recommended, there can be unexpected risks. Last year, Farley's had to recall the batch of soya formula because it was contaminated with milk. Y-soy has been recalled after being found to contain small pieces of stainless steel. Going on to goat's milk, this is not recommended either, as it contains similar proteins to that causing cow's milk allergy. In addition, goat's milk formula cannot legally be sold in the UK, as insufficient testing is being done on it. I'll link through to the Department of Health website, which has more to say on that. Babies with an allergy to cow's milk may sometimes have a reaction to the protein passing into a mother's breast milk, but she can adjust her diet if this is an issue. If you're concerned about any of these issues, speak to your health worker or contact one of the mother support groups listed on the Baby Milk Action website. There are far better sources of information than companies which have a vested interest in selling you their products. We want the other sources of information to be better still, which is why we support the Breastfeeding Manifesto, which calls for better training for health workers. Action is long overdue. Recall what Wyeth says on its website. Cow's milk intolerance is when the digestive system finds it difficult to cope with one or more of the ingredients in cow's milk and can result in a variety of symptoms including eczema, vomiting, diarrhea and stomach cramps. If you suspect your baby has cow's milk intolerance, talk to your GP or other healthcare professional who might be able to prescribe a cow's milk-free formula such as SMAY-soy. Contrast that with this from the British Medical Journal, written over 10 years ago. Indiscriminate swapping between formulas, often on the advice of health professionals, should be avoided, as should spurious recommendations to use a soy-based formula for vague symptoms and signs. These include normal crying, fussing behaviour of young infants, colic and rashes, any of which may be ascribed to cow's milk protein intolerance. Casual treatment in this manner is undesirable because it leads to overdiagnosis of food allergy with possible long-term effects on children's dietary habits. So, hence our call for independent, accurate information. You can sign up for information specifically on Baby Milk Action's work to make formula feeding safer at www.babymilkaction.org/action/saferformula.html. Wednesday, very different sort of article. Learning from the ice cream wars. What can we learn from ice cream? I sometimes cite Nestlé's ice cream war with Unilever when people question why Nestlé has not yet given in to the demands of boycott coordinators. Well, certainly we've won some grudging changes to policy, and we can stop specific cases of aggressive baby food marketing targeted by our campaign for ethical marketing. But Nestlé still refuses to agree to our four-point plan aimed at saving infant lives and ultimately ending the boycott. It won't even agree to the first point, that it should accept the validity of the World Health Assembly marketing requirements. Even Nestlé acknowledges the company is widely boycotted. Independent surveys have found it to be one of the four most boycotted companies on the planet. So why hasn't it accepted the four-point plan? Well, we can learn from ice cream. And I'm prompted to write about this by an article in Business Week called Ice Cream Wars, Nestlé versus Unilever. Ice cream is a $59 billion industry, now dominated by the two companies as they've gone on tit-for-tat acquisition sprees, buying up national ice cream companies. You may have seen this happening. A Nestlé oval appears around the old company name, such as Lion's Made in the UK or Yoper in Brazil. After a few years for people to get used to that, the old company name is unceremoniously booted out and Nestlé replaces it in the centre of the oval. It's a cutthroat business, and Nestlé in particular demands strong growth. Though ice cream contributes billions to Nestlé's turnover, it dumps any brand that is not reaching its growth targets of 5-6% per year. So Lion's Made was divested a few years ago, though Nestlé continues to profit from the licensing of brand names to the new owners. Country by country, Nestlé and Unilever go head to head, trying to outcompete the other. Asia and Latin America are the current battlegrounds, and a fortune is being spent in trying to convince customers of the merits of their respective products. This is the daily reality of Nestlé executives. With this aggressive culture permeating the company, the boycott is seen as another factor in their operating environment. Executives generally try to throw money at the problem, with their anti-boycott team, expensive publications, and corporate social responsibility strategy of improving the company image. When the pressure is too great, they are forced to give ground, stopping a promotion, changing an aspect of policy. Our work for legislation is most effective because when given no choice, the companies can comply. But it does require a strong stance, as even then Nestlé is loath to comply, for example refusing to turn up to court in Costa Rica and India when prosecutions were brought, and in India it took the government to court to try to have the law changed. The Business Week article doesn't mention it, but the ice cream war is also a legal battle, with the companies suing and countersuing over restrictive practices as they try to achieve exclusive deals for ice cream distribution. At least Baby Milk Action has never faced a legal challenge, as Nestlé knows it would lose, and so further fuel the campaign for it to change. And this is a campaign, not just a request to Nestlé, for the simple reason that Nestlé is not willing to change. Whatever it may say as it tries to endear itself to the public and organisations it wants on its side, Nestle is still contributing to the unnecessary death and suffering of infants around the world through its aggressive baby food marketing practices. It is still responsible for more violations of the marketing requirements than any other company. The campaign has its successes, and with greater support through people spreading the word, writing to Nestle and supporting us financially, perhaps buying some of the boycott merchandise we sell, we can have a greater impact. But don't be surprised that there is resistance from Nestle. Infant nutrition has to deliver the same year-on-year growth as the rest of its sectors to comply with what the chief executive calls the Nestle model. He has promised shareholders he will deliver, and they shout down anyone who raises concerns about his methods. As I've said in the past, reporting from the shareholder meeting. Nestle won't stop its aggressive marketing readily. Lives are at stake, so we will not give up, and we will continue making gains that help to save lives. But it's not easy taking on Nestle. Just take a look at the ice cream wall. Thursday was the 30th of August, and so I was flagging up that the following day would be the end of our August promotion. We were offering free gifts for orders placed during August. Great merchandise there, such as t-shirts with our popular fridge magnets displayed upon them. Mugs with the same image and boycott images. I've got our new breastfeeding calendar for 2008, which has got 12 full colour pictures from around the world. And there is a promotion with the calendar still. If you buy 10 or more calendars, and they make great presents, then the price is reduced by a pound. And they're also great items for health facilities. They're corporate free, so why not use the IBFAN calendar instead of the calendars offered by baby food companies? On Friday, something about George Clooney, because people have complained to us about George Clooney, the actor and human rights campaigner, appearing in advertisements for Nestle coffee. Gaining access to an A-list Hollywood star has proved problematic, but Mr. Clooney was put on the spot about his links with Nestle at the Venice Film Festival on Friday, as he took part in a press conference about his latest film role. Ironically, he plays a lawyer caught in a moral dilemma and mortal danger when called on to defend a company against a lawsuit over its practices. Asked about his real-life role in the Nestle Nespresso advertisements, Mr. Clooney said he did not work for Nestle, according to an ABS-CBN report, which says he said unsmilingly, "I'm not going to apologise for trying to make a living every once in a while. I find that an irritating question." I'll link through to that news report, which refers to the controversy over Nestle's marketing of baby foods, though it refers to the boycott in the 1970s. That prompted me to send the following response to the news outlet and to issue a press release. "Your article on George Clooney defending his involvement in Nestle advertising states the company has been criticised in the past for the manner of marketing formula baby milk in developing countries. The controversy led to a boycott of its products in the late 1970s. It is unfortunate your article did not report the current situation, which is the boycott was relaunched in 1988 as Nestle failed to abide by commitments made that led to the end of the first boycott in 1984. The second boycott has forced some changes in policy and does stop specific cases of malpractice, but monitoring shows Nestle continues to violate the international standards for baby foods more than any other company, as it promises to build significant year-on-year growth in sales. Nestle has repeatedly rejected a four-point plan put to it by boycott coordinators to save infant lives and ultimately end the boycott. Even Nestle's global public affairs manager, Dr. Gail Crozier-Willey, acknowledged in April this year that Nestle is widely boycotted after an independent poll found it to be one of the four most boycotted brands on the planet. where our work with our partners for independently monitored and enforced legislation implementing the marketing requirements has succeeded, Nestlé and other companies abide by the international standards, so it is not impossible to comply. The boycott helps to compel it to change its practices where effective legislation is not yet in place. Let us hope Mr. Clooney will also update his knowledge and support the boycott in future to keep up the pressure on Nestlé to change. Now, wouldn't it be great if Mr. Clooney made amends by walking down the red carpet with one of our must-have boycott Nestlé reusable fair trade cotton shopping bags? You can buy them in our online shop, www.babymilkaction.org/shop. So, I'd be interested to know if you come across any other reports of this story or anything else that you think we should be aware of and campaigning on or reporting on. Many thanks for listening to this podcast, and I hope to speak to you again next time. Bye-bye. Felicidade, feliz é a cidade cujo povo amamentou.